Welcome to a special edition of Rush to Reason, featuring GIA Group Insurance Analysts.
You ever go to a brand new doctor, and the moment he walks in, you're like, no. I was sitting there, I'm nervous enough. Doctor walks in, all the buttons on his lab coat were off by one. If he can't nail that task, I don't think I want his doctor paws on me.
Where we talk about what your insurance policy actually covers and what you need to do to be fully protected.
I don't know how they determine the best brain surgeon. You know, maybe there's a competition. America's Got Tumors. Heidi Klum thought it was the best.
With your host, Dan Muir.
I sell insurance.
What a shock.
Do you have life insurance? Because if you do, you could always use a little more. Am I right? Right.
Now, here is your host, Dan Muir.
Alrighty, good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to this special edition of Rush to Reason. I am your host, Dan Muir, and along with me is Paul Inigro, the owner of Group Insurance Analysts. And Paul, we are live at GIA today, and you had this absolutely wonderful, fantastic cookout today.
Well, if that's what it takes to get you out here, we're going to do that.
It was awesome. I mean, elk, everything.
And for those who don't like elk and they don't know what they're missing, we had some regular stuff.
Yeah, some regular stuff, some chicken stuff. But I'm telling
you what. Chicken, pork, buffalo. The buffalo was good, too.
It was fantastic. So we're going to do something a little different today. So
we are
going to talk about one of your favorite local charities, or maybe your favorite local charity, Food for Thought Denver. Why don't you go ahead and introduce our guest?
Yes. I'm so happy to have Bob Bell here. Bob Bell's the founder of Food for Thought. And, you know, we're not just selling insurance here. You know, we like to contribute back to society as well. And Food for Thought's such a great local nonprofit charity. It's a charity where when we give them money, all of it goes to help the school children that we're going to talk about. So there's no overhead. It's zero overhead, 100% pass through. And these are the types of organizations we really like. You know, some of the main, and I have no qualms against the American Cancer Society and that they do great work. But on a lot of these big organizations, when you give them money, maybe only 20% actually goes to help people and the rest is overhead and administration. So with a local charity like Food for Thought, something Bob Bell started, when we give him money, it all goes to help the kids. And he's going to tell you about, you know, what he does. What he does with the money, all the volunteers that come to help every week. So I'm going to turn it over to Bob right now.
Yeah, so Bob, first of all, how did you start Food for Thought, or what was the inspiration?
Well, first, thank you, Paul, for having us down here. It's an honor, and thank you for your support, which we'll talk a little bit more about. But to answer your question, Dan, it's really kind of a simple story. I was quite honestly sitting on a bar stool at my brother's bar 7 years ago, and bragging a little bit about some food hunger issues I was working on with my Rotary Club. And we were feeding 50 or 60 kids up in Arvada. And I was talking to a special ed teacher sitting next to me, and she just kind of looked at me and said, well, when are you going to put your big boy pants on and do it somewhere where it matters?
Wow, the challenge.
The challenge, yeah. It's a rather sobering moment, literally. And I said, well, what do you mean? She said, well, I teach at Columbian Elementary in North Denver, where Paul and I are from and where we live and breathe and own our own businesses there. And, you know, she said to me, Bobby, look, there's 400 kids in my school. And by and large, the last meal those kids have is hot lunch on Friday. And they come back here to school on Monday at 40th and Federal, having not had any consistent source of food in their belly for the weekend.
So they don't get fed during the weekend. So serious, you're serious. So their last meal is Friday at lunch, and it's not a huge meal. School lunches are not a huge meal. And a lot of these kids have nothing until Monday.
A lot of them have nothing. They can certainly not, you know, count on something consistently over the weekend. I had the same reaction as you, Dan. I was like, really? And she simply said, come over here to the school and meet these kids and meet my principal, and I'll tell you the story. And she did, and it was, well, for me, it was a life-changing moment, and it was the hatch for Food for Thought.
You know, it's really hard to believe that that can happen here in America, you know, the land of plenty, the place where, you know, there's a drive-through window about every block, you know, and you got grocery stores, convenience stores, and all this kind of stuff. But yet there are kids, school kids, that evidently have a parent or at least one at home, I would think, that aren't getting fed?
Well, it's really a multi-layered problem, the hunger issue. And we were laughing just before we came on air about North Denver and what's changed in North Denver. And if you drive through North Denver, you know, it's, you know, I'm in real estate for my day job, and, you know, it's the sexiest place to live. Everybody wants to be there.
Oh, yeah.
And it belies the fact that this hunger thing is really on in those neighborhoods, because as all of the health of Denver accumulates and grows throughout those neighborhoods, it's disparity on steroids for these kids in those schools.
Oh, there's no question about it. One of my side jobs, I work for Phillips Lifeline. And so I go around to places and install the help buttons. You'll help if I can't get up. And when you walk into some of the public housing, and right next door is a what do they call that, a top-tier apartment building,
right,
you know, with cash falling out of the window. And then you go into this other building where, holy cow, it's poverty. It's unbelievable, the dichotomy, the difference just one building can make.
Yeah, it really is. And Columbian is a typical school that we work in now, and we'll give you a little background on that. But the schools that we work with Food for Thought Denver are Title I schools. So to be a Title I school, the balance percentage of your enrollment has to be of a certain income level. And that income level is 29K or below for a family of four. So it's abject poverty in our backyard. That's the part, you're exactly right, we don't understand. If you think about living in North Denver now at 29K or below on a family of four, you simply can't do it. And people ask us all the time, well, how can food get lost in the balance? But if you think about rent and putting shoes on their feet and shirts on their back and trying to get some form of transportation to get them to a school, sometimes food just becomes what's left behind.
Yeah, it does. It's really sad to think that there are families in Denver that are only making $29,000 a year.
A lot of them.
Even though I'm in it, you still can't imagine it. You walk into these buildings, you see the kids, you see the, you know, the lack. There's a lot of stuff missing that, you know. I was raised in basically small town America, maybe like suburbia, and there's plenty everywhere.
Yeah.
And you walk into some of this inner city stuff, you see the lack, and it's like, holy cow, what's missing, what went wrong, and how do you help?
Well, Dan, how many schools do you serve? Listen.
Yeah, I mean, we started on St. Patrick's Day in 2012 with two schools, Columbian Elementary and Fairview Elementary. Fairview's just below Mile High Stadium, and as I said, Columbian's at 40th and Federal. Those were Title I schools. And when we started just to open our eyes a little bit beyond, you know, once we saw we had somewhat of a tiger by the tail with those two schools, we just started to count down, okay, how many of these Title I schools are there? And from that day until today, we are now in 37 schools in DPS alone. And we haven't cut halfway through the need. And we only work in schools that are 90% and higher free and reduced lunch population schools. So if you really start doing the math of where this is really at, just in DPS, primarily elementaries, we're serving, you know, 10,000 kids now. We're not half through the kids. And these are little guys, man. A lot of them could walk under this table, right?
Yeah.
These are, you know, elementary age kids that are living in this kind of poverty right here in our backyard.
I had no idea.
You wouldn't.
So you're saying you're dealing with 37 schools right now.
Yes.
How many schools could you be helping?
Well, there's 60. I got a sticky pad on my computer at my office, and we just literally scratch them off as we're able to, you know, due to good people like Paul and his firm, as we're able to just keep scratching those off. So we got a hell of a long way to go. I mean, but we're making really good strides with the growth we've seen in the last 7 years.
Yeah, well, I was just trying to get a grasp as to how big the problem really is.
Well, just in Denver, figure it's going to be 60. Figure it's going to be 40,000 kids, you know, in total. And that doesn't even jump over the border into Aurora, Sheridan.
And these are schools, and you're talking about schools with a 90%.
Yes,
and so
that's
there,
correct.
And so there are probably schools out there that have 75% or,
well, there's all kinds
or 50-50, you know, and so those kids still need something,
you,
too.
You are exactly right. Yeah, we're busy just trying
problem.
To keep the 90s, but yeah. It's a huge problem in the city.
Dan, remember last month I saw that article. It was posted by KLZ on the Facebook page, and it was about one school in Indiana where the lunch ladies were addressing the same problem, and they were getting national attention, and they were providing lunch, take-home lunch or food at the end of the day on Friday for kids to take home for the weekend. And they were getting national attention. They were doing one school.
Yeah.
One school. Bob's doing 37.
37 schools. And if you're just tuning in, you're listening to a special edition of Rush to Reason, along with Paul Lanigro of Group Insurance Analysts. And our guest is Bob Bell. He's the founder of Food for Thought Denver. And if you want to learn more about Food for Thought Denver, if you want to help donate, it's foodforthoughtdenver.org. And Bob, I'm still blown away by the numbers, the number of people that, the number of children that need help. And so, As you were diving into this, did you have any idea that the problem was this big?
No, we really didn't. I mean, we knew. I could see 400 little faces, you know, that we were working on it at one or two schools. Didn't really know. But then, as you know, well, I should back up a little bit and tell you why the model works. The model works because this is no one's job. Nobody involved with Food for Thought is anything but a volunteer. No one really has a title. I'm the founder because I have to tell you I'm something. Or otherwise, I just tell you I'm another grinder like everybody else that's involved with Food for Thought.
Sure.
So we literally have a zero overhead model. So we all have day jobs, and we work hard to try to make a little bit of time for Food for Thought and a little bit of money for Food for Thought that we can set aside. So the program that I mentioned I was working on in Arvada, and God bless most of these backpack programs around the country. They've been around for since the 70s doing good things. But primarily when they go into a school of need, they make the kid stand up and prove he is that kid. We took a completely different slant, right? We just said, look, if we already know the school is 90% free and reduced lunch, we're not going to try to outguess the people that vet that. We're going to feed every kid. So the difference at Food for Thought is when we go to a school that's 90% or better, we're taking a bag of food every Friday to every kid in that school. Hell or high water, every kid. And we just tell the administration, look, if you know some kids don't need a bag, you're smart enough to figure out what kid needs the extra bag. Get it to him. But it's over our pay grade to try to figure out who it is. And we don't think kids should be made to stand up and say, yeah, my life sucks. I need the food.
Yeah, that would be really difficult. A lot of kids wouldn't do it.
They won't do it.
Out of pride.
They won't
and
do it. You do it, Dan.
Matter of fact, I'm going down the next Friday. I'm going to get my bag of lunch. But let's talk about that a little bit, about how that works. So you guys, how does this work on Fridays? Tell me what happens.
Yeah, well, it really backs up a little bit further than that. So on Monday, we get a count of how many kids are currently enrolled in those 37 schools. And they send those counts to my office, and my staff, much like Paul's staff here, you know, carves out some love in their time to put this together. And we order the food from the Food Bank of the Rockies on that day.
Okay.
So we're buying, you know, what's in a typical bag is 15 non-perishable items for the family to take home on Friday afternoon. So we've got some, and my partner in this is a guy named John Thielen. He lends his office staff to purchase the food. They buy 15 items, 10,000 at a time, if you can fathom, right? And their focus is try to make it nutritious, of course, the best they can. But we also, you know, have to really be cognizant of the fact that most of these kids don't have a family structure, anything like probably you or certainly not I grew up with. When they go home on Friday, it isn't, hey, mom and dad, you know, where are we going to the movie tonight? And hey, mom and dad, what's on the stove tonight? That's not how their life is, by and large. If they're lucky enough to have a good family structure or parents in the house, they're usually working two or three jobs. So a lot of these fifth graders are head of household. They're also in charge of meal planning. They're also in charge of making sure their siblings are taken care of through that weekend. So in the bag, we got to make sure there's enough food in that bag where a kid can just get in there and eat without having to cook.
Could you imagine being in the fifth grade and being the head of the household? I mean, fifth grade, I was the biggest screw-up out there. I could not imagine being the head of the household. Okay, so when we get back, I want to talk a little bit more about how this works, what types of food is needed, and what you need from the public in, as far as help.
Great.
So you're listening to a special edition of Rush to Reason. I'm your host, Dan Muir, and along with me is Paul Lanigro from Group Insurance Analysts. And, of course, if you have any insurance questions, you can always give Paul a call here at the office at 303-423-0162 or find him at e-gia.com. I'm Dan Muir. We'll be right back.
Don't be that guy. You and your family have been planning this road trip for ages. You finally get the vehicle packed up, everybody's buckled in, and you're on your way. Then, right when you get outside of cell reception, in the middle of nowhere on a long, empty freeway, you blow a tire. Suddenly, you're that guy, spewing bits of rubber across the road as you pull wildly onto the shoulder, miles and miles from your friendly Parker repair shop. And you listen to John Rush, so you should have known better. All you had to do was swing by Extreme Auto Repair on your way out of town. Dennis and his team would have checked your tires for free. They would have told you not to drive on such low tread. Then they would have sold you a brand new set of American-made Cooper tires at cost. Instead, you're stuck with a vehicle full of grumpy family members walking down the freeway in the hot sun to find cell reception. Don't be that guy. Get your tires checked at Extreme Auto Repair in Parker.
After an accident, think about Flesh and Beck Law. After your accident, you didn't think it was a big deal. You didn't think you were injured. You didn't think you'd ever hurt that much. You didn't think you'd have to miss work. You didn't think physical therapy would take so long. You didn't think there'd be so many hospital bills. You didn't think that the insurance company would take so long and give so little. You definitely didn't think you'd ever be in this situation. But you are. After an accident, think Flesh and Beck Law. Flesh and Beck have the experience and the knowledge to think about all the details you didn't know you'd have to worry about. They will answer all of your questions and help you to determine if you are entitled to compensation for your pain and suffering. After an accident, think Flesh and Beck Law. 303-806-8886. 303-806-8886. Call today to find out if they can help you.
I'm Bruce Simmons, KLZ's local reverse mortgage specialist. I recently did a reverse mortgage for KLZ producer Steve Ebling.
Actually, Bruce and I chatted several times when he first became an advertising partner for KLZ. My wife and I thought it through and thought that there were some things coming up in life in terms of a special wedding anniversary to do something special, but also to make an addition to the home. We knew we were sitting on a pile of equity, buying a house 36 years ago and then having paid it off. The Denver market being what it is, lots of equity there, but it's essentially locked up. You can't really touch it without a tool like a reverse mortgage. Anybody who sits down and discusses this with Bruce will quickly understand that he is a subject matter expert, and I don't know if there's anything out there that he hasn't seen yet. It's just good to have a professional like Bruce in your corner. I don't know that a reverse mortgage is for everybody, but for the people who have thought it through, and again, they obviously they're sitting on some equity and they'd like to use it, I would highly recommend giving Bruce a call.
I'd love to help you unlock a portion of the value of your home with a reverse mortgage. Give me a call directly at 303-467-7821. 303-467-7821.
Real answers for real people. This is Rush to Reason.
Alrighty, gang. Welcome back to this special edition of Rush to Reason, live from Group Insurance Analysts. And I'm Dan Muir, your host. Don't forget to join me, John Rush, Cam, and of course, Charlie, today at 3 for Denver's Afternoon Rush, right here on KLZ 560. Our guest today is Bob Bell. He's the founder of Food for Thought Denver. And if you want to learn more about Food for Thought Denver, go to foodforthoughtdenver.org. And Bob, when we left,
yeah,
we were talking about the types of food, you know, what goes in these bags. And I'm thinking, I got a 13-year-old at home, barely can do laundry, has a hard enough time finding, you know, anything, right?
Yeah.
Now, my 13-year-old is not, unfortunately, is not set up to be the head of the house. Maybe that's a good thing. Maybe that's a bad thing. Maybe I'm a bad parent. I don't know. But he pretty much has it easy. Okay.
Well, he was saying that about you.